Well, good morning. We're glad you're here today as we continue our series, Life's Healing Choices. And today we're going to be talking about making changes, how there's meant to be transformation in all of our lives. Imagine that you're in a boat and there's this autopilot, and it's set for helping you to go in a certain direction, and you're going to set that autopilot for the west, going west out there on the lake. And you take hold of the wheel, and you push and pull, and the next thing you know, you try to turn it back around to the east, but it's on autopilot, and it goes west, but you keep trying, and eventually, right, you're able to turn it and go east. But it's not long before you begin to struggle with it. It's not long before it just gets really tiring to kind of go against the autopilot. And the next thing you know, you're giving it up. And you're saying, okay, I just got to let it go in a certain direction. And you stop trying to struggle with it. And you just let it go on autopilot. See, a lot of times in our lives, because we think willpower is enough, we'll try to change things and try to overcome things. And it's almost as if it's going against the grain. And we try for a while and we struggle with that habit, or we try to overcome that addiction with our own power, but eventually it kind of overtakes us, and eventually it takes us in a direction that we really don't want to go. Willpower and trying to deal with our problems on our own is a constant frustration. How many times have you said, you know what, I'm going to have this New Year's resolution and I'm going to go ahead and I'm making a commitment, and for the first, 6 weeks, you're pretty good. And then all of a sudden, you go back to the bad habit, or there's the addiction, or whatever it is you're trying to overcome come New Year's. You try to do it with all your might, but in your own strength, it's very hard to bring about life change in your lives. Today, we're going to be talking about transformation and how God wants to encourage us with a kind of change that is lasting. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, or don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold. I like that translation. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Allow God to change you. Allow God to bring transformation. Allow God to bring that metamorphosis in your life, where the old habits and the old things become something of a distant problem. And there's a new life in Christ, and because of that, and because of what He's doing, there's a kind of different lifestyle in Christ as a son and daughter. Your identity is not in that habit. Your identity isn't in that addiction. Your identity is in the Lord Jesus Christ, because you're a son and you're a daughter. Life change isn't easy, and we all struggle with it. But God wants to encourage us down that path of real life change. He wants to help us. He shows mercy to all of us. He's able to help us with a pure heart, able to encourage us down that path. All of this in the Beatitudes gives much strength to us as you look at life from a different perspective. And God wants to encourage us down that kind of path rather than the path of the world and what the world says needs to be something where you try to find life in. But when it comes to life change, there's always those character flaws in all of us, right? We need to understand where those character flaws come from. Part of them, they come from just who we are, the chromosomes. Every one of you have, from your mother and father, 23,000 chromosomes to help you in your development, right? And from your parents, you inherited some of their strengths and some of their weaknesses. I love the fact that I have 3 kids, and they're all wired entirely different. You have Katie, the firstborn, a little pushy, very much a self-starter. She knows what she wants in life, and she just takes charge and goes for it. And then just the opposite would be Mark. He's the middle child, right? As laid back as they come, right? He takes after his mom a little bit. His mom's a little bit more like that. It's interesting with Beth. She's kind of a mixture of both, and it's kind of crazy how we see little Beth. But the other day, she, on her own, because she likes the adventure like her dad, On her own, she traveled into Chicago. She visited her grandmother, who's not doing well. She got on a plane, found the parking in Chicago to get on a plane and go all the way down to North Carolina to visit her niece. And she did that all on her own. And we're like amazed. That's little Beth. You know, little Beth is able to do that. Why? Because she loves that spirit of adventure. And, you know, she's thinking, this is no big deal, right? But it was huge for us to think about that. All three wired completely different, but all part of the same family. You all have siblings. You know exactly what I'm talking about and how from that same mother and father, there's differences. And because of that, there's also some of the flaws that we get from them. You might have this hot temper because, you know, you got it from your dad. He had a hot temper and things like that. But you can't blame it on him. You have to take responsibility for it. Or maybe your inclination is to be a little lazier or laid back. Or maybe it's having to deal with some addictions. Maybe you're wired that way. And next thing you know, you self-medicate rather than, in a sense, find the kind of complete change that God wants. Our chromosomes are part of the character flaws. Our circumstances in life. You grow up in a home where you're raised with a lot of issues. And because of that, it causes you to be a certain way. Maybe there was this need for respect and you're always looking for attention. Maybe there was that need to be loved and you didn't get a whole lot of that. And so you also find that love in maybe superficial ways. Maybe you have this need for security because you grew up in a home where there was chaos. And the next thing you know, you're trying to find security in your relationships and what you're looking for. Our circumstances, past, present, oftentimes cause some character defects within our lives. But we can't just blame it on those things. We can't blame it on how we're wired. We can't blame it on how we grew up. There's choices that we make along the way as well. And this is something where a lot of times we don't want to really look at. But we make these choices, and that's why we are the way we are. We contribute to our own character defects. We often do this. You didn't wake up one day where all of a sudden you're the alcoholic. You didn't just wake up one day where you're this person that has a hard time with your temper. You didn't just wake up one day where there was this sense of just chaos going on in your life and you trying to manage it and trying to kind of overwork and do all these things that you can to bring about change. That didn't just happen overnight. There's choices along the way. And one of the things that I often see in life change is when we understand that we are who we are because of our choices, we're able then to allow God to make some changes in our lives. But so oftentimes, we don't want to take responsibility. And because of that, we don't really invite God to do the change in our lives. So key to real life change and transformation in our lives. So why does it take so long? Why? Why does it take so long? If we want to have some change in our lives, why does it take so long? Because first of all, we've had them for so long. These are habits and characteristics that have been a struggle that we've dealt with for a long time, and they're familiar to us. And most of us have these hang-ups or bad habits for a long time, and it's taken years to develop. And maybe it happened from way back in childhood, and you developed those from a long time ago. It's almost like an old pair of shoes. They're comfortable, and you don't want to throw them out. The same way with those bad habits. Oftentimes, you're more familiar with that, and because you're familiar with it, life change and actually asking God to change you becomes very scary, and it's almost like you're more comfortable with the bad habit. You're more comfortable with that defect rather than asking God to change you because there's a new way to live life. Another reason that we're slow about change is because we oftentimes confuse our defects with our identity. That's just the way I am. I'm just an anxious person. I have a lot of stress. I'm a workaholic. I've always been a workaholic. That's just who I am. I'm wired to have this quick fuse. That's just me. And because of that, sometimes we so closely identify ourselves by our defects, that there's oftentimes this confusion about a new identity and what's going to come. I like the fact in Celebrate Recovery, they say, I'm a child of God. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ who has a problem with drug addiction. I'm a follower of Christ who has a problem with pornography. I'm a follower of Christ who struggles in whatever that addiction is, codependency, whatever it is. But I like that about Celebrate Recovery as a Christian support group, because it says your identity is not in the addiction. Your identity is not in the defect. Your identity is in you being that son and daughter of Jesus Christ. That's where your identity is. And that's what helps you then to overcome. Sometimes we have this struggle because every defect has a payoff. It takes a long time because oftentimes there's a payoff. Don't think that sin isn't something that feels good. It does feel good, and there's a payoff oftentimes. The person who's addicted to pain meds, it's because it relieves them from the pain. The person who struggles in different areas, there's oftentimes a payoff. And because of that, it takes a long time to overcome. And because Satan is the one that loves to discourage us from change, it takes a long time as well. In John 10:10, the Lord says, I came they might have life. They might have it abundantly. That's what God wants. He wants us to have an abundant life. But right before that, in verse 9, it says, the thief comes only to steal and destroy. I mean, that's what's going on in all of our lives. He loves to keep us defeated. He loves to keep us with this bad habit. He loves to keep us in that addiction. This is the enemy. Satan loves for us to be defeated. But God says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In Christ, there's that abundant life. In Christ, there's real life. And yet, oftentimes, we allow the enemy to cause havoc in our hearts, and we buy into the lies rather than allowing God to set us free. God wants to bring life change. Transformation. Romans 12:2 puts it this way. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what's acceptable, what's perfect. There's a different way of living life. Transformation, renewal of the mind, putting on, in a sense, and the Bible talks about the new man, putting on that new nature, taking the old and putting it off and putting on the new. There's a transformation that God wants for all of us. And it happens in the mindset. It's all about allowing God to change your mindset. The transformation is meant to be something that helps us think differently about our lives. So we're not thinking like that person who has that bad habit. We're not thinking as if, you know, I have this addiction and that's always going to be how I'm defined, whether I'm an alcoholic or the drug addict. That doesn't have to define me. I can change and allow God to change my mindset and know what is God's will. Know that God has a plan. And God's plan is a good plan. His will is a good plan. There's a different way of living life. And I can understand that His plan is that which is good and acceptable and perfect, because it's God's idea. It's not man's. And I want more of that. I want to have more of that understanding. In your bulletin, I put a little card here to help you understand what transformation is all about. And you can do this with a lot of different Bible verses, but I put down one, and it's one that we just sang about recently. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. There's a lot of things that are truth, that are true about who you are, your identity, and so oftentimes we live in fear. So oftentimes we get worried about life and concerned about life. And we oftentimes live in fear even of God. And we're wondering, you know, when's God going to just, you know, say enough? And the truth is God loves us perfectly and He never stops loving us. He cares about us. And when you go to God with all of your problems, all the things that you want to just take to Him, He's the one that's going to love you best through it. Perfect love, His love for you, cast out fear. And when you think about that verse and are reminded about it, and you memorize and you allow God to change your mindset. I like this idea on the backside of the application where you say, okay, in light of that, how am I going to live? And on the back, you put something different about who you are today and your identity. For today's going to be a better day than yesterday because God's helped me to get stronger. Yesterday I was worried about, and you can fill in the blank what you were worried about, concerned with, what you lived in fear about. But today I'm not afraid because I know that God loves me. You know, He has a plan for me. He knows what's best for me, whatever it is. When you live with the truth about God and what He says, and then you take that and you apply it to your life and live in light of that promise, it changes everything. And we don't oftentimes have enough Bible verses that we've memorized, enough truths that we've taken hold of. We buy into the lies of the enemy more than the truth about who God says we are. And we live with those lies. And God is a changer of lies, and He wants to help us. And more of understanding and memorizing His word about His kind of love, His kind of purpose, His kind of direction in our lives, and then living and walking in that, that's what brings real life change. So how do we partner with God? How do we do that? I want to end today with some really quick kind of points concerning how we bring about that kind of partnership in our lives. Because I believe God wants us to invite Him in when it comes to this kind of life change. He encourages us down a path where we seek Him and we allow Him to bring about that real life change in our lives. How do we do that? Focus on changing one defect at a time. Isn't this a great verse? An intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. So oftentimes, instead of just working on one area in your life, you're trying to figure out all these different things that you need to deal with. Because we all have problems. We all have some defects. We all have things that we struggle with, sin that we struggle with, right? And instead of just focusing on one area, it's easy to kind of focus here and here and here. And then when it's like, wait a minute, there's no real life change. Focus on one area. Allow God to work in one area. Take the next 30 days and work on that one area rather than have all these other things that you're dealing with. Focus on life change one day at a time. Addicts know this is really important. You talk to somebody that's dealing with drugs or alcohol, there's a struggle that they have, and it's like, I just need to get through today, just today. Okay, I need to deal with today. Today has enough worries of its own. That's what the scripture says. And I like the fact that when it comes to God and His Word and how we're meant to just kind of stay focused, today has enough worries of its own. That's what it says in Matthew 6. That God says, you know what? When you take it one day at a time, He's always going to be enough for you. He's always going to help you there. You don't have to worry about all these other days ahead. And that's one of the hardest things to do is stay focused just on a day. If you're struggling with addiction, just today, help me, Lord, to overcome that addiction. If you're struggling with pornography, Lord, help me today to deal with that pornography. If you're dealing with whatever it is, you put the blank there. Ask the Lord to help you today to overcome. Each day has enough problems of its own. Don't worry about tomorrow. Take care of today and allow the Lord to work. Isn't it interesting how the Lord says, give us today in the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. Daily we are to seek God and ask God to help us, even with our daily provisions. How much more should we ask God to help us with our problems and things that we deal with in life? Thirdly, focus on God's power, not your willpower. In Jeremiah 13:23, it says, can a leper take away his spots? Neither can you, who are so used to doing evil, now start being good. You can't do it on your own. Willpower in and of itself is not going to help you to overcome. Just like that illustration of the boat where it's on autopilot, it's going to go a certain direction. We're just wired a certain way. But we need God's power to help us turn it around. We need God's power to give us strength to overcome. And the truth is that with God, all things are possible. That when you turn over to Him, He's more than able to do that good work in your life. But so oftentimes we keep trying to do it on our own, and we keep struggling, and we think that somehow, some way, I'm going to be able to do this. And the truth is, you can't in and of yourself. Imagine every day you take some garbage out, right? And you see the guys come by and they pick up the garbage and everything. Imagine if that was kind of your mindset when it came to some of the baggage that you're carrying, some of the things in your life that you struggle with. What if you said, God, would you be the one to take that out of my life? You take it down to the curb. There's responsibilities that you have to take this to God and say, God, would you do a work? But then there's a part where you ask God to say, God, change me. Help me to be a better person. Help me to overcome this addiction. Help me to deal with this problem that I'm dealing with. Help me, Lord, to forgive that person I don't want to forgive. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, God says, let Him be the one that does it. Take the garbage out to the curb and let God Almighty deal with it. Allow His power to work in and through your life. Also, focus on good things, not on the bad. The verses in Philippians says, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever admirable, think on these things. What you think is how you're going to act. And so oftentimes we're always working on the negative. You know, we're always, always working on the negative. But keep something positive in front of you. That there is life change. It is possible through what God wants to do in my life. Allow that positive thing to be in front of you, not the negative. And allow Him to do that good work in your life. And then focus on doing good, not on feeling good. Because I'll guarantee you, you start going down this path and to begin to change and allow God to change you from the inside out, it will feel odd. It'll feel awkward because you're not used to it. But when you allow God to start working your life and bring about the change, whether you feel like it or not, He'll begin to allow the feelings to follow your actions. But you start by being a follower of Him, doing what you need to do. Maybe you struggle with smoking. You want to give up smoking. And the first time you do that, it's just a struggle. And it doesn't feel good at all. And a matter of fact, it's really, really hard to do that. But you keep, as an act of the will, saying, you know what? I want to deal with that addiction, and I want to overcome that. And you allow God to do that work in your life, the feelings will follow. And eventually you'll feel good about not smoking, especially on those long walks where you have the breath because you're not taking care, you're taking care of yourself in a better way. Focus on relationships that help, not hinder. Good company is important. You see, bad company corrupts good character, but when you develop good people in your life and you have good people on your bus, it changes everything. We need to develop some really good relationships. Who are those people in your life that destroy you, that pull you down? Who are those individuals that are good and help you down a good path? Do you have some church family that help you and pray for you and encourage you? You need those people in your lives. If all you have are the people that are outside these doors and they're just constantly are negative and tearing down and getting involved in all the gossip and all this stuff of life, if that's the only type of individual you have, you're going to become more like them. But when you have good people in your life that are praying for you, encouraging you, uplifting your spirit, that's going to help you with the life change. When individuals go to jail, I'll often tell them, the best thing you can do is get those people out of your life that were right there with you, with whatever cause, you know, crime you committed, that were right there with you. If you want to get out of jail, if you want to change your life, get those people out of your life. And that's not just for those that go to jail. That's for those that struggle with some sin, struggle with areas of addiction. We need to have good company. We need individuals that are going to help us down a better path. And then finally, focus on the progress, not perfection. And the passage in your notes is wrong. It's Philippians 1:6 is the right passage. It says, I'm confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it. That He's the one, the Lord Jesus, is the one that started it, and He's going to complete it. He likes to do a good work in your life, and He's more than able to do that good work in your life. Don't worry about perfection. Know that God loves you right where you're at, and He's helping you, He's coaching you, He's encouraging you down that path of real life change. Allow Him to be the one that does that. Don't give up on yourself. Understand that God constantly is at work in your life, and He wants to help you with that. Making change, voluntarily submit to every change that God wants to make in my life. Humbly ask Him to remove that character defect. Call whatever you want. Character defect, sin, addiction, bad habit, whatever it is, you fill it in. But ask God to do that change. Ask God to change you, transform you. Allow His power to work in your life. Imagine if you're dealing with some type of addiction. Imagine a God that takes you right where you're at and doesn't point the finger, doesn't condemn, doesn't say, man, what a mess that you've created. Because you already know the mess that you've created. Imagine a God that just kind of helps you right where you're at and says, come on, let's walk together in this and I'll help you with this addiction. Imagine a God who is able to change you and help you change. He's not a God that condemns. He's a God that lovingly brings you through that addiction. Imagine a life where you're not having to struggle with all that addiction. Imagine a lifestyle where instead of constantly seeing families destroyed, all of a sudden they begin to be rebuilt. Imagine a different way of doing life where instead of finding life in the chaos, there's life in that which is good. Honoring unto the Lord, and you start these good habits and living life with the freedom that God gives you. Imagine what it would be like where you're not just weighed down with all the heaviness of that chaos and the pain. And there's just times where I think about those things and I see different people in lives and see destruction that the enemy causes. And man, there's so much life in living the way God wants and the transformation that God wants. It's not meant to be a life that causes a lot of struggle. It's meant to be a life where there's freedom and that God's bringing the change and He's bringing transformation and He's helping you to be free from all of that stuff. And there's a battle that goes on daily. And some of you deal with that. Some of you struggle with those things. And so oftentimes we try to do it in and of ourselves. And the truth is you can't change this in and of yourself. You need God's help. You need Almighty God to just be able to help you take that load off and bring about the change. You can't do it on your own. But boy, when you say to Him, I'm all in, when you say, I'm tired of doing it on my own, I'm tired of trying to bring about the life change without the Spirit of God, and I'm tired of just, you know, living with this chaos that's all around me. When you say to God, I'm all in, wow, He's more than ready to take you and help you and walk with you through a real life change that brings transformation not just to you but to everybody around you, because He is the one that your identity is in. It's not in that addiction. It's not in that problem. It's not in anything else. It's that you are a son, you are a daughter that's loved by God, and He's changing. He wants to change you. He loves to change us from the inside out. And boy, when we start to walk in that, He's the one that's on the sideline applauding. He's the one that's smiling down. He's the one that's encouraging you to keep walking in that life change. He is all about that. And everybody around you would like to think that God is the God who's pointing the finger at you. And that's not God of the Scripture. The God of the Scripture is the one that lovingly invites the life change. Embrace that. not the condemnation that the world around us tries to tell us. Invite God and His love to bring about the change. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we invite that kind of freedom. We know, Lord, as a Father, You love us as sons and daughters. And when we struggle with those things in our lives, whether it's an addiction, something, Lord, that is just a defect that causes so much pain in relationships, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to seek You and allow You to do the change in our lives so it can be lasting change. Lord, willpower alone won't change it. We need Almighty God. We need Your power. We need Your strength. And we come, Lord, with brokenness that says, God, I can't fix this. I need Your help. And so, Lord, we pray for that. We pray that You would do that good work in each of us as sons and daughters and help us find life in You. But, Lord, You're the changer of hearts and lives. We need to allow You to be the one to turn it over and allow You to change us, transform us, change ourselves, change our families, change the culture in which we live, because, Lord, You're doing a good work in and through us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.